Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I'm Coach Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. In this episode, Judy Kefagona, the founder of Sustainable Travel and Tourism Agenda, STTA, based in Kenya, will help us understand what it means to de-risk tourism as the sector gets ready for a restart. Good morning, Judy, and welcome to the Tourism Podcast. As a renowned sustainability advisor, trainer, advocate, and having held roles in global organizations like the International Eco Tourism Society, Global Sustainable Tourism Council, among others, if you can give us a feel of what is happening now in terms of from the sustainability angle or responsible tourism angle, tell us what's happening in Kenya and what's happening with your own self and how you believe this area can help us, build back better, like you say.
Good morning, Kojo, and thank you for having me again to talk about sustainability, which I believe is everybody's business. It's just that we don't call it by its name sometimes, and we don't pay attention to it, but it is indeed everybody's business. Tourism is restarting. I believe it's restarting in many parts of the world. It is restarting in Kenya as well. Like it was predicted in the turbulent days of COVID-19, which was around the months of April and May, when the industry was going through its turbulent phase. Discussions emerged immediately, and there was pointers that domestic tourism would be the beginning or restarting of tourism. Okay. And we have seen that in Kenya today, as tourism reopened mid of this month of July with all safety and hygiene protocols put in place. We have seen a lot of places open. We have seen Kenyans patronizing many tourism places. It's indeed the migration time, which is Kenya's biggest wildlife attraction, the wildebeest migration. And there are Kenyans actually going to see the migration now. The number of vehicles you see at the Masai Mara gates is encouraging.
Okay.
To know that Kenyans are patronizing and actually appreciating these particular experiences. So tourism has opened. Things are beginning to look up for domestic tourism,
sure.
Looking up to the airspaces, international airspaces opening from 1st of August.
Yes.
And I think there is anticipation that there will be some travelers who will come and are interested in the offers that are being made today. I think there are a number of good offers by lodges and tour companies. So in as far as restarting tourism in the old mode with safety and health hygiene, we are moving forward.
Okay, now let's go back a bit. Where in, when COVID started or during the turbulent times, you did mention about, you spoke extensively and wrote about it, about de-risking tourism, and that was your tune, de-risking tourism. Mm-hmm. And I remember the CEO of the South African Tourism also mentioned that this time is the time for SMEs to shine. I mean, you can look at it from different perspectives. So let's now graduate towards tourism restarting and what we believe people should have taken notes and build back well. Are we beginning to see operators, tourism players having recognized the problem and the challenge that we had when we went through these hard times some few months ago, and how we can build back better?
This is a mixed scorecard for Destination Africa, I believe. Monetary returns is still the emphasis of restarting tourism today. Despite the many discussions and reflective moments that tourism has had to go through during the pause occasioned by COVID-19, and which highlighted that this place where tourism found itself was not just because of COVID-19. COVID-19 just escalated the situation, but tourism already had issues and tourism already had challenges. Yeah. And because it collapsed within a week of lockdown, within a week of the announcement by UNWTO that we had a pandemic, tourism completely collapsed. And by collapse, I just don't mean that people could not travel. Yeah, that is not what I'm talking about. By collapse, I mean that people working in the tourism industry,
the confidence and all that.
They lost their jobs within a week. And the losing of jobs because there's no work could be understood. But not being paid any salaries immediately after that tells you that something is totally wrong with an industry that makes millions when business is doing good and cannot retain their staff on full pay even for 6 months. That was, for me, a very profound and eye-opening moment for tourism, because tourism is a big contributor of jobs. If we are talking about 12% of our global economy, whose lives is at risk because tourism is a highly risk industry, where you will lose your pay within a week of any challenge happening to the sector, then it was time for us to rethink the models of tourism that we have. Again, for many destinations, the fact that tourism was reopening and they were discussing reopening, they were so afraid that they will not, even as they reopen, they will not make the numbers that are required because they are totally dependent on foreign markets and not their domestic market. That was another weakness and challenge for the tourism industry, to start looking at the tourism models, the packages they offer, their marketing strategies, the markets that they reach out to, and to start looking internally, because what is happening with COVID, I believe that COVID has pushed us maybe 20 years into the future to start thinking of what tourism could look like 20 years from now. What are some of the things that are going to define tourism? And domestic tourism will define tourism, because issues of pollution and air travel and air consciousness, people will take shorter trips. They will still travel by air, but they will want to take shorter trips than the longer trip. We know that issues of digitization will become very important. Already, this is a lesson that has been learned. But as tourism is reopening, we are yet to see, and that's why I said it's a mixed scorecard. As tourism reopens, we are yet to see any profound policy direction changes that tell us that destinations have actually reviewed their policies in view of COVID-19. There has been no policy review. What we are seeing is just health and hygiene protocols, and we want to operate in a new normal with the old mindset. A new normal with the old mindset will not take us forward. It's actually putting us into more risks, because we should expect that this kind of pandemics will happen, especially as we lose biodiversity, global warming. There are certain viruses and bacteria that become more active. We have heard about this for the last 10 years or 20, 15 years. We didn't think that it would happen. Maybe much of this would happen again. But we are returning, we are restarting tourism with the old mindset. The only things we are paying attention to right now is health and hygiene protocols. Our communities are still vulnerable. our labor in the tourism industry is still vulnerable. The supply chain has not been addressed. Our policies have not been changed. So yes, we will not get new miracles with old mindset. We will be at exactly where we were before.
Don't you think it's a collective responsibility as opposed to just policy leaders or, if you like, government? If we understand that, you know, travelers or tourists, okay, also bear some amount of responsibility when it comes to being responsible and being sustainable, and it's incumbent on them to understand that they respect, you know, the tradition and the culture of the people.
Tourists will always respond to the narrative that they have been given about a destination, whether this narrative is what is written or this narrative is what they have heard from word of mouth by other travelers into these destinations. They will behave exactly the same as what has been allowed by the destination. So in as much as we want tourists to be responsible, tourists will not be responsible if we do not tell them how to behave. It is the responsibility of a destination to decide what kind of destination it wants to have and what kind of experiences it wants to offer and what kind of message it wants to share, what kind of learning it wants to share with its travelers, and what kind of image it wants at the end of the day. So whereas it is a collective responsibility, there is various points of leadership. And that's why I say the destination image, the leadership, the responsibility for destination image does not lie with the traveler. It requires leadership from the public and the private sector. They must shape the narrative of the type of tourism that they want. And the tourists will respond.
Now, this morning you posted, and I quote, "Africa's tourism success will not happen if tourism does not contribute to and support empowered host communities who are the custodians of tourism resources and experiences."
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Now, most of the time, we think the way tourism has been designed, it's been about the attractions and it's been about the tourism infrastructure. So for example, we have the wildlife in the Mara. And so what we need in the Mara is accessibility by air and roads. And then we need more investors to put in more lodges in there. But we do not look at the host communities in these places and how tourism has affected or is affecting their lives. And I always use Mara as an example. And I know that if the communities, through the reviewing of the Wildlife Conservation and Management Act, did not have a chance to create community wildlife conservancies that we have in the Mara today, more than 15 of them, we would have been talking a different story about the conservation area of Mara, because truly they live with the wildlife. This is their homes. If there were no opportunities for them to be guides in their home community, to be the ones who share the experiences, to be the ones who keep the stories, by being allowed to form community wildlife conservancies, they are now sharing the stories of their landscape with tourists, and that encourages them to safeguard the resource that is wildlife. Before then, they saw wildlife as a problem. Wildlife was about conflict. Wildlife was about loss of livestock. Wildlife was about loss of crop. Wildlife was about loss of land for alternative livelihoods. But because now they are engaged, they are empowered through policy, through the Wildlife Conservation and Management Act, they have been allowed to use wildlife as a land use option, wildlife protection as a land use option. And through that, they have themselves chosen tourism. Because they have chosen tourism as the vehicle through which they are going to use wildlife, they will protect that wildlife and that resource for the long term. So if we want Africa's tourism success and a thriving economy for wildlife for that matter, then we cannot ignore a significant part. We cannot ignore a significant part of the economy of our population that actually provide the resources. If you want to protect heritage and tell the story around heritage, who is better off telling the story about heritage except the people who have been associated with that particular heritage? If we are talking about historical tours and we are talking about Mau Mau in Kenya, and we do not allow those who are part of this or those who these stories have been passed down to be part of telling that story, the heritage and the story around Mau Mau is going to disappear in this country. We are going to read it in history book. And we know that when heritage is continuously interpreted by other people, other than the people who lived that experience and, or the people who know about that experience or whose ancestors experienced the same, then the narrative keeps changing. And we have seen how heritage tourism has come under attack. It has come under attack because the true story is not being told. And that is what I mean by, if we do not empower host communities, yes, who are the custodians of the resources and the experiences, the success of our tourism will be a short-term story.
But you see, I mean, luckily, and again, congratulations to UNESCO and Kush Communications. And I don't know whether you've watched or you've listened to the General History of Africa documentary done by Zainab Badawi of the BBC, where they have the story of Africa and African scholars, even within the structure of UNESCO, had to agree that these people, we cannot only tell our story through just documentation, but they went around to have the oral history. And it was very, you know, insightful listening to some of the things that we were not used to, or we were, you know, were made to believe that that was not exact history. So that's you know, that point is fairly made. Now, talking about what the challenges were, okay, from your side at STTA, and those of you don't know STTA, STTA, Judy's going to tell us, you know, a bit about it. What have you guys done, okay, to make tourism better in terms of the small businesses, in terms of the host communities, and the kind of trainings that you believe from your own side you can make tourism better in Kenya, in Africa?
For those who don't know STTA, it stands for Sustainable Travel and Tourism Agenda. We are a Pan-African organization. Our promise is to deliver a future-proof destination grounded in sustainable tourism values and delivering meaningful benefits to host communities. Because host communities does not mean traditional communities, it even means the residents of big cities. So that is our promise, that it is possible for Africa's tourism to be strongly grounded on sustainability values, and that these values, if we adhere to them, they will deliver to us a thriving destination. So to do that, we work in different spaces with different stakeholders. We have developed a number of training programs that target the tourism private sector, tour operators, hoteliers, and other experienced providers. We work a lot through partnerships to deliver these trainings. Even for community conservation areas, we focus on building capacity of community organizations to effectively manage their resources through good governance and leadership. We help to define what valuable and progressive partnership agreements with communities would look like, so that we can actually retain more spend on the ground in a fair way that gives value to those who are investing with or partnering with communities, and gives value to the communities as well. We also have a passion for working with SMEs in tourism. We have said it before very boldly that this is the backbone of Africa's tourism. We cannot ignore them. They form the largest part of the tourism economy. And if they are weak, or if they cannot scale the ladder to become a medium and large enterprises, then the industry will perpetually be in a state of risk, because they are the backbone of the industry. So we have many different capacity building programs in terms of grounding them in the principles of sustainable tourism. We have actually in the recent past, since 2019, relooked the whole idea of sustainable tourism. And today we believe that it is a quality management system. It is a quality management system that helps a tourism company to build resilience in all areas of its operations, from its customers, its employees, its governance models, its partnerships and alliances, to its environmental practices, community engagement, issues around human rights and fair trade. We have identified various dimensions and measurable indicators, and developed quite a number of tools that would help even a small business with less than, with 4 to 5 employees, to still attain quality management and be grounded on principles of sustainability if they follow this this program. So we are working with different partnerships. Our most recent partnership is with the University of Brighton to strengthen particularly our SME outreach program that is meant to support them and to strengthen this sector. We also have many other partnerships. We have worked with Airbnb, particularly on the Airbnb Africa Academy, and we are trying to reach out to experienced providers. In this one, we have been targeting youth and women who can offer different experiences. Youth who can take you around Nairobi and show you. We want them to know exactly how to identify, how to package their product, how to sell it online, how to put it and continuously be able to update what aspects will be travelers looking for. And so we are so concerned about at the base, the bottom that is heavy. The bottom is of tourism. The pyramid is heavy at the bottom with SMEs. And we need to make that bottom a little lighter, so that it can fly. It cannot sink tourism, but instead it can raise tourism. If I can use that analogy, yeah. If we liquefy it so that it can raise tourism, because as they rise, tourism will rise. So we are working with a lot of those. But I'm also very excited that we work a lot with the youth. Through what we call the STTA Young Changemakers Program, with 17 universities that offer tourism training. Before COVID, we did our monthly discussions face-to-face. We've since moved that to Twitter. So every 2 weeks, we hold a Twitter chat with the young changemakers to get their voices. But mainly, we're trying to build the next generation of tourism professionals that are grounded again in critical thinking and sustainable tourism practices. So they are, the SCTA changemakers are indeed critical thinkers. If you engage them, you will realize that they ask different questions. If you follow them on Twitter, when we have our Twitter chat, you will see that their arguments are totally different. Their perspectives have changed. And we allow a lot of cross-learning, because for us that program is an extension learning program that links the classroom work, which is theory, to the practice in what are the real issues. What are the current issues that define day-to-day tourism discourse, which they would have to deal with? So that is the space we engage with the young change makers.
Okay.
But beyond that, we are training all of them to be sustainability assessors. So
champions.
We allow them, champions. They travel, when they travel in their local areas, they go to places, they write reports about them, they give it a sustainability scorecard. So they travel to learn, they travel to explore, but they also travel to assess sustainability so that they can help other travelers in future to know what is happening in these places in terms of sustainability. So this is the space where we engage in as STTA. But we also do a lot of research in many different ways, whether we run it through a poll on Twitter, whether we do desk research, or we just do evaluation. And I must say that
I know your tourism catalog is, you know, it's coming out very soon. You know, your latest
book.
Yes,
our latest project is the Africa Sustainable Tourism Dialogues.
Book.
Yes, it's gonna come up. So that is gonna tell the stories of Africa's tourism.
No, that's good. Thank you. Thank you again. I mean, as we wrap up now, I want to pick a word from you to travelers and what they should look out for. How can they be responsible travelers? You know, we have the global code of ethics, and what should people look out for? Because often than not, we've been consumed with urban tourism, which is fine, but people just lose some of the things that makes them positive influence or bring out their how responsible they are in terms of tourism and how they can enrich the destination. Can you give us some word on that?
Yes, I think I will borrow some words and say that tourists should look for the unsanitized script. There is a very glossy trip a script about tourism, but if you want to be a responsible traveler, please ask and go beyond the sanitized script. And when you travel, do more than what is in the sanitized script. Find out for yourself what else is in places. Try and interact as much as possible with the residents' communities to learn the stories of the places that you're visiting. You can learn the stories by joining them in their eating places. You can learn their stories by joining them, whether it is in their evening gatherings that are available. Interact with the places. Find out what they value the most and learn why they value these things. Immerse yourself in the destination when you travel. Look out for experiences that will allow you to immerse yourself in the destination. You can ask your travel agency about what else exists beyond the script that they have given you. Because just to finish, sometimes tour operators use this script because they feel like all travelers are so interested in safety. I believe in safety. I travel a lot and I care for my safety. But I also decide when I travel that I will spend a night in a hotel and I will spend another night if I book my own accommodation, if it is not booked by my host. If I book my own accommodation, I try to mix it all so they can take the responsibility themselves as travelers to ask for more of what is available and more of what they can do. This way, tourists can contribute to their redistribution. Yeah, because all these words, the rewards, are very important for us as tourism restarts, particularly for Africa. We are saying that one of the weaknesses were many, and some of those weaknesses we can address them as tourism restarts. So we can redistribute tourism benefits by having more engaged travelers in destinations who have been provided with enough information to make the choices of what they can do. As tourism restarts, we want to reinvest in people and we want to reinvest in the planet, because we know that, like we have said today, that we cannot have tourism success without empowerment of people in host communities. So let's reinvest in people. Let's re-educate our travelers about the places. let's realign our policies and values, and let us rebuild our alliances. I'm using all these three words, Kojo, yes. Because very soon STTA is going to launch a call for Africa to restart its tourism and rebuild back better. And what it will mean for us to rebuild back better, I will have that discussion with you in another podcast, because it's a full one for that other podcast. So yes, we can build back better. We have what it takes to build back better as Africa. We just have to make the resolution that we want to build back better, and that we don't have to hide behind our old models and our old systems and feel that we are insecure. We are not insecure. We are as insecure as those things that are risking tourism today, which we have to think about. Otherwise, Africa has got a very strong tourism product. Africa has got a very promising future for tourism. But it all depends on what we do with what we have in our hands today. That is where our challenge is. Yes.
Yes, let's build back better and make tourism a positive driver in our economies. Judy Kefa Gona, thank you so much for this insightful discussion on the VA Tourism Podcast. And thank you once again.
Most welcome. Thank you. Yeah.